in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags podcast. I am Katie Nordgren.
And I am still Chris Jeffa.
You haven't changed?
I haven't changed.
You haven't changed a bit. In a week and 2 days.
Yeah, I feel like a different Christina.
Do you?
Yeah, over the last like couple of weeks, I've just been...
Shedding your skin?
Just, like, drained to the point of, like, not doing a lot of creativity.
Meh.
And feeling just, like, overtaxed and sad.
Gross.
And, so yeah, but then I got to have a restorative week, so I'm pretty fucking into it. How are you?
Oh, I am great. I'm sweating my boobs off right now, but that's fine.
We're in full-on summer, for realsies.
Hardcore summer.
Like... It's hotter than it was on that day that we had to strap the ice packs to us, which, why don't we do that?
I totally forgot to do it. I don't think it is as hot as that day, because that was, like, really painfully hot, and this time I'm just, like, moderately painfully hot. Like, I kind of wish I had one of those, but I'm also just sort of like, you know what, I don't even deserve to be comfortable, so just kidding. Oh, that's not how I feel at all.
It's like, I want you to just always, as your character, is just play up the martyr thing, like,
huge. Oh, it's fine. Well, that was what we were doing when we were setting up to record today. I was, like, throwing the baffles in the window, and I was like, do you want me to sit so in case they fall out that they'll hit me instead of you? Because my theory was, like, I got a really fucking fat head, and I'm tall, and so it would be less velocity once it's struck. So I'm like, it'll do less damage if it hits me, and not you. You're like, don't throw yourself under the bus for me, Katie.
Yeah, everyone deserves a friend as good as Katie, but, like, you gotta fucking...
No, a lot of people don't deserve a friend as good as me.
Oh, no, that's true. Okay, that's the opposite,
Everyone
maybe.
Should have a friend like me.
Yes, but, like...
But you ain't never had a friend like me. You have. You've had me for a long time.
Yeah, and it's really good. Lucky fucking me.
Lucky you, lucky me.
So we don't have a guest today.
No guest at all.
And so if it gets really hot, then the tops are for sure coming off.
Just like straight up topless.
Real. I'm already wearing a crop top, just in life.
Just in life.
Pretty good.
As one does.
I got, Forever 21 had like a bajillion sales.
I love that they do plus size crop tops. They're like, come on, fatty, wear it up.
This isn't even plus size.
Is it not?
No, this is just a large.
You just got some pretty big titties. So.
I do.
Yeah. I don't know what that's like. My breasts are small and humble, so you won't confuse them with mountains.
Oh, Shakira.
Oh, boy. Shakira, Shakira. Yeah, so, no, I'm great. I've been in a good mood for the last few weeks, which has been awesome, apart from just melting constantly.
Have you been sleeping? Please update us.
Oh, update you. honestly, like, here is where I just, again, out myself as a pothead, but I've been taking this stuff called Phoenix Tears, which is, like, this sounds so silly, because it's used for people who have, like, AIDS or cancer, who are, like, dealing with, like, super side effects from their treatments. It's supposed to be something that, like, just really levels out your stomach and puts you to bed. And so I've been using this stuff. Did I say what it was called already?
Phoenix Tears.
So it's like,
very Harry Potter.
Totally. But it's, I think it's called RHO or something. I don't exactly know what they use to, it's the extract, whatever the chemical they use to, like, extract whatever it is that they pull from the marijuana.
Very scientific.
Very scientific. Well, it comes in, like, a syringe, so I feel like a mad scientist when I'm applying it. What you do is I take it and I put it on, I got it from my friend who lives in Portland, who is literally, she works in weed. Was like, here's what you do, is you put it on a Starburst, and you make a sandwich with another Starburst, because the stuff will stick to your teeth otherwise, so if you use this chewy candy, it, like, stops it from sticking.
Holy
and then
fuck.
You swallow it, and then about 45 minutes later, you start feeling really good, and just, like, great with everything going on in the world, and then another half hour after that, you go to sleep.
I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, it's been fucking awesome.
You found
honestly,
some
like
good medicine.
Yeah, for the last couple weeks, I think that the worst night I had was I was only up for like maybe an hour and a half, which for me is like way less than my average on an average night.
Mm-hmm.
So normally it's like 2 to 3 hours. So it's like one kind of tossy turny night, and the rest of it's been like 7 to 8 hours a night, which is not like me at all.
No, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Really no wonder you've been in such a good mood the last little while.
I've slept. Yeah, it's amazing
it's
what
like
I'm capable
it
of.
It makes a difference.
It's almost as if we need it to restore ourselves as
human
beings.
That was one of the biggest things working at the homeless shelter that I worked at.
Because you were working shift work.
I was working shift work, but I was working at night, and then people would come into the shelter, and they'd be like, oh my god, this person is going to be really hard to deal with. They're just like bouncing off the walls. They're so chaotic.
Yeah.
And it's, like, they've been using crystal meth or crack for, like, a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really got to learn that, like, those drugs were a big coping mechanism for people that didn't feel safe. Because they're, like, I don't feel safe enough to sleep, I'm going to stay awake. Because if I'm sleeping outside, I want to just be awake.
Wow.
Right?
So I never would have thought of
that. It's a total safety thing. I need to, amazing. So like normally, you know, a person would be a heroin user, but they would only use that when they feel like they could
take a nap,
but then it's like, I'm just going to use rock because that'll just keep me like awake and I won't get victimized. Like I won't get attacked or whatever.
God.
This got deep really fast, but I don't care. But that's one thing that I talk about in the workshops that I talk about harm reduction, coping mechanisms.
It's just so shocking to me to understand, like to realize how few people understand drugs as a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think people really perceive it as something that people just do to, because they're deviant or something. Uh-huh. It's like, I'm bad, so I'm going to do this drug. I'm going to be a drug doer.
Yeah.
And it's like, people are not going to do that just for shits and giggles. Like, yeah. There is a reason behind it.
Yeah, like, crack is not good. Like, it doesn't feel good, apparently.
I don't know.
I've secondhand smoked crack a lot.
As one does in those situations.
At the homeless shelter, people would smoke it near me, and then I would just clean a lot of things for a long time.
Your baseboards look great.
That's happened to me before. I'm telling 15 stories at once. I need to be like Rachel and just like start taking notes and like go back. But I walked into the homeless shelter at 7 in the morning to do my cleaning shift.
Sure.
Someone exhaled fresh rock like right into my face. And I just got the huge thing of smoke and I choked and coughed and I felt really yucky for like 15 minutes. And then about half an hour went by, and then suddenly I was like, whoa! And I was like, oh, I'm cleaning, I'm doing all this stuff, and then I just crashed, and I felt so bad.
Yikes.
And, like, slept on a mattress, like, in the homeless shelter to, like, sleep it off.
That'll tell you.
But it didn't last for very long, and I felt really productive and really alert and awake, but then you just feel like garbage after, so then I guess if I smoked more, I would feel better again.
Ugh. God,
right?
Yeah.
Which is that horribleness. But so, like, especially women that, like, don't feel safe sleeping at night, like, out on the street.
Yeah.
Will smoke rock just so that you can stay up all night. Or, like, if you're working or if you're, like, doing whatever at night, you know, you want to be awake.
Yeah.
Just because it's a safety thing. Definitely. And so then, in the homeless shelter, like, we would try our best to make a really safe environment for people. To be like, hey, you're welcome. You can share a room with people with, like, a curtain that draws or, and, like, we would offer this to people a lot. If you don't feel good being in a room, like, we also have this big open space, or you can just put a mattress in the hallway, and we'll keep the lights on, and we have staff that are here, and we've got cameras, and they actually did eventually make, like, a women's-only section so that it could be a little...
more safe.
A little more safe, but then also there's, like, if people had partners, like, male partners, then they'd want to sleep together, etc. But once people got one good night's sleep... someone that was so hard to deal with at night, and you'd be just like, go to bed, or, like, stop disturbing everybody else, and once they finally crashed out, and then the morning, they'd be like, hello, good morning, how are you?
Hello.
You're just like, holy shit!
You're a totally different
person. All you needed to do was just get a good night's sleep, and you just needed to feel safe, and
it's
that was,
so
like, one
hard.
Of the best things about my job, was just like, I just want you to do what you need to feel safe.
Do what you need to, just a little callback to previous past guests, sweet Calvin.
Anyway, that made me just very sentimental for a second.
Well, I mean, you had some good experiences at that job.
I sure did.
A lot of learning.
I met a lot of really amazing people.
Yeah,
that
no
was
doubt.
The best part.
I've always really liked your stories about working in the shelters and stuff, because they always seem like, they always give me a fresh perspective, and it's like, I never, until like 5-6 years ago, never thought of, like, why do people do drugs? Like, why do they? Like, I've been a pot smoker for, like, most of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I do it, and it's a coping mechanism,
right?
Like, I'm a very anxious person, and it helps me manage my anxiety. It certainly helps me deal with my insomnia, which is, like, a comorbid thing with my anxiety. So it's very helpful for that. And I realize, like, I look back at my own family and realize that there's a lot of alcoholism in my family, and it's like, oh, we're not alcoholics, per se. We are depressive, anxious people who don't like to burden other folks. So it's like,
just internalize
what's my medicine?
Yeah.
I chose a medicine that doesn't make me feel fucked up the next day, at least. So that's been good for
me.
And
it's not super hard on your body, and it's not usually cut with bad things.
Generally speaking. Well, it's feel like semi-legal now, so I feel a lot safer about that. But alcohol...
legalize all drugs!
Legalize harm reduction!
I just jumped right into that.
We have strong feelings about this.
I was talking to someone about this the other day, and just how, like, heroin and cocaine, like, these are drugs that are the same as neurotransmitters that we have in our own brains.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, endorphins... that's basically what heroin is. And we have the receptors. We also have cannabinoid receptors in our brain. So that means our body produces something like THC.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you smoke that substance, it just, your brain doesn't have to produce it itself. So A, how do we tap into our own, like...
Cannabinoid producer.
Yeah, potential of being able to do... So that's why, like, exercise and sex...
Meditation.
Yeah, like, that's apparently... But it's easier to just ingest a substance, because then you can get it when you need it, and you don't have to work for it much. And maybe you don't have the capacity to work for it. It's not the worst thing to find some good... Anyway.
I could look it up online right now, and I might just make a note of it to see if I can find it later, but the, I was reading something about how, I don't know, NASA or some other space organization had, like, taken a sample from an asteroid and discovered cannabinoids on it, like, THC on this. I'm like, oh, they found the dank-ass space weed. Give me some of that. I just think that's so interesting to think about how, like, oh, yeah, no, our brains make that stuff, and that's why it feels so good. It's like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. But to think about... You know what you're saying about, like, why, not even just, like, as a coping mechanism, but, like, as a safety measure, like, just to stay awake, because I definitely know there's a lot of students, because I work with students.
Adderall and
I know students take Adderall or cocaine or, like, any number of things to keep themselves up. Like you think back to Saved by the Bell, the episode where Jesse gets hooked on caffeine.
I'm so scared.
And it's just so funny to think, like, oh my god, she got hooked on caffeine, so we're having a very special episode. Like, she probably would do Adderall now. Like, it would be a real drug that could do real damage. Not that caffeine can't, but just generally speaking, that's, like, a dumb drug. Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. But, like, so when I was saying about, like, that our bodies can produce these things necessarily, it's, like, a lot of the harm that comes from doing drugs is when it's cut with bad shit. And so I just blurted out... to somebody. I think I was at a bar, I think it might have been a couple days ago, and we were talking about harm reduction stuff, and I said, oh yeah, that time, like, that Christmas when all of the rock was cut with hog dewormer, some horrible person that made, so, like, I have all the love and compassion for people that use drugs. I fucking want to murder, like, drug dealers that, like, especially the ones that step on their product and cut it with bad shit.
Yeah.
Like, if it's just banal stuff, whatever, but when they put the rat poison in, or when they put hog dewormer, or fentanyl, which doesn't make sense, it just, I guess it makes your shit go farther, because fentanyl is an incredibly strong opiate. But, like, people that put really bad stuff in there, like...
Hog dewormer.
Yeah, hog dewormer, and people were literally smoking crack, which is pretty benign, just makes you, like, awake, and they were bleeding out of their eyeballs. And it was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
You saw people bleeding out of their eyes.
That was the first 3 months that I started working in the downtown east side.
Jesus Christ.
So I feel like I've seen a lot of shit.
You really went through the fire initially, hey? Like, you were... That was a trial by fire.
They put you into the hardest places to start working, just to be, like...
Can you hack it?
Can you hack it? And then you get to, like, go work at a quiet place with, like, sweet ladies and bake cookies like I did for years, and it was amazing.
I just like that that was a, that you have warm memories of this work that you've done, because I think a lot of people perceive it as being something very dark and sad. And I'm sure that that is very much the case in a lot of situations, but that there is beauty in it, too.
The most important thing that I ever got from this job, which I try to take forward in my daily life... was some initial training that I got from the initial founder of Portland Hotel Society, Liz Evans, who, you know, there was a big scandal with the job that I did that they were, like, not managing their money properly. And it's just, to me, it's because they were used to running a very small organization that grew incredibly fast, and they just were not very rigorous.
Right.
And that sucks if you're going to be an activist and you're going to, like, fight funders and fight the government. Like, you gotta fucking keep your shit in order.
Totally.
So, anyway, but she is so amazing and is now working in New York for, like, another amazing, like, funding foundation and is doing all kinds of great work all over the world. And she told me that one of the best things was you just treat someone with respect every day, and then maybe in 6 months, maybe in a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 5 years, they will eventually be like, oh, fuck, really nice to see you and, like, give you a hug or something. And it's, like, it's not about changing people's lives that day. It's just about, like, being sustainably consistent, and you're always there, and you always treat someone with respect.
Always recognizing the humanity in another person.
Exactly. Namaste, or whatever.
Fucking namaste.
Like, my soul recognizes your soul. The bus driver and my soul waves at the bus driver.
That was such a good tweet. The namaste. I wish I have to, like, look that up, figure out how to credit that person.
Well, I said namaste.
Oh, you did. Okay, yes. So it's like the bus driver.
The tweet was, the bus driver in my soul waves at the bus driver of your soul, because all the bus drivers wave at each other, and it's so great.
It comes up every time someone's like, well, what are the simple pleasures in life you like the most? I love seeing that. I love seeing two bus drivers on the same route going in opposite directions waving at each other. There's just, like, a magical liminal moment in that where it's just, like, we're people. We're not machines. We're not, like, on a route. We're human beings doing a job.
Yeah.
And I see you and you're Carl, and I see you and you're Marilyn.
Yeah.
And hi, and we're both wearing the same pair of shorts.
Yeah.
We both don't get to pee for, like, an hour and a half.
When Luna was living here, we decided that we wanted to write a song called Everyday Heroes, and one verse was going to be about bus drivers that wave to each other.
That would be great. Well, we should definitely do that if she comes back. I hope she does. Friend of the podcast, mm-hmm. Luna, who is our artist in residence, I guess.
Yeah.
Soon to be our artist in Glasgow, which is very exciting.
But what was I even saying? Oh, just about treating people with respect.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't have to go out of your way to be like, hello, how are you doing, da da da, because, like, people actually can see through that as, like, being a put on a lot of the time.
Totally.
So you don't have to be, like, customer service, like, forced friendly, but just to be like, hello, and remembering people's names is very important, and to be able to just say, like, hi, how are you doing, and even if they, like, fucking freak out at you, and then the next day you're not like, ugh, fucking Carl, hi, whatever. Like, just start each interaction as if it's just a neutral, and just stay neutral and stay consistent and stay kind. And that kind of trust, that's like the Brené Brown thing where you just, like, put a pebble in the jar, and every single time that you just say hi and you don't hold them to, like, shitty behavior from the past or whatever, it's just another little pebble in the trust bucket, and eventually it's going to be full of pebbles, and then you're going to be best friends.
Is that
best friends ever because of boundaries, but you're gonna have a good time.
Does this have a little something to do with the interactions that we've had in the last 24 hours?
Yes.
Just a little bit?
Yes.
So, going back to one of the bonus episodes we did, I want to say in April, probably? Mm-hmm. It was in April. We did about a 60-minute episode. I was talking about, like, cruelty and comedy and, like, getting shit-talked by somebody. And I'm, again, not going to name names, going to give as little identifying information as possible, but basically the person who made it very clear they don't care from my perspective hosted a show I was on last night, and I was very nervous about it, but between when we recorded that bonus episode and now, that person and I have had words and come to an understanding, if not a total place of friendship and peace, but, like, a place of understanding, where it's like, okay, well, we're not going to kill each other, you know? And so, said person was hosting the show I was on last night. I will probably give more details about it later.
Well, I mean, like, when you say that, then you know it's gonna who be it pretty is because it's on the internet.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't been that subtle about it. But basically, like, it's all good is really what it all comes down to. It's kind of like, I didn't want to create it as a situation where it was just hostile, you know? Like, I'm just not into it. Like, I said what I needed to say. I might as well just say her, and got it off my chest, and now I'm not mad.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been very nice to me since then. Like, has been extremely civil, was super cool, like, said nice things about me last night. So I was like, you know what? It doesn't have to go down into the darkness. It doesn't have to go down into a shitty place. Like, it's unfortunate that stuff is usually shouldered by one person more than the other in an interaction with two people. And, like, for me to always have to kind of be the understanding person is a lot of work. On the other hand, I would rather do that than shut people out.
Yeah, because, like, I'm very much about, like, oh, fuck that person, just cut them out of your life forever. And then it's like, well, also, though, they're, like, around.
Yeah.
And we're doing the same kind of stuff in the same scene, and I don't want to have animosity.
The difference between us is so fucking minimal. Like, that's the funny thing to me. It's like, we want to do the same kind of stuff, and we don't need to be in competition about it. We can support each other, and I think that's becoming clear.
And then, how about collaboration?
Why not?
As we talked about on that episode.
Yeah.
And so last night, like, I was ready to go there. I'm like, Katie, I'm coming to the show.
I'm gonna fuck her up if I got to.
I did not say that.
You never
I'm
would.
Never gonna fuck anybody up, but I was ready to glare scathingly and just, like, ice some shit out or whatever and just be there and then be able to, like, shit talk with you later. Yeah. And because that's the kind of supportive friend that I am. I have your back and I love you very much.
Well, I love
and
you very much.
So then I was, like, all prepared to, like, just be totally, like, yeah, stone cold bitch. And I was so won over by this person. She's so fucking funny.
She did a great job hosting, to be totally honest. Like, she was hysterically funny.
She was so funny and so good. And so at the end of the show, I went up to her and I was like, hey, I'm Katie's friend. And she looked a little bit nervous.
Like, you were gonna kick her ass.
But, like, I'm tiny and not intimidating, except for a little bit. I'm sexually intimidating.
I'm a little intimidated by you. And I know you. I know you very well, and I'm always just, like, a tiny bit intimidated.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, good.
I want to cultivate just the smallest bit of fear and respect.
If so, so much respect is a tiny bit of fear.
Yeah. But so she kind of looked a little, like, what's going to happen? And yeah. I just said, like, you are so funny. Like, I was literally, I was just belly laughing at the table.
We were both belly laughing.
And I was like, yeah, you're so funny. I think that your comedy is fucking great. Yeah. Really good to see you.
Totally.
And she was like, fucking A. And then everybody, yeah. like, hung out outside and it just felt so good.
Like it's
felt
fine.
Like such a good, supportive scene of just, like, all yeah. the comics and all their friends are all just hanging out, and it's not a big deal.
And that's the thing that I've come to notice ever since we had that episode where I was like, I don't know where I stand. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what's happening. I don't think anyone dislikes me very strongly, if they do at all. Like, I don't think I've been around long enough to build up any kind of bad ill will, mm-hmm. you know, like, but I think I've had enough time to sort of start building up some goodwill, mm-hmm. With running the Big Rock show, and just, like, always showing up on time when I'm booked to do things, and, like, to just, like, really practice my set, like, and make mm-hmm. sure that it's ready to go when I do it, because the one I did last night, like, I'm never gonna do it again, probably, certainly never in the way that I did. I'll probably reuse some of those jokes.
Some of them, like, were so good. Katie had to write new material for, like, a nerd show.
It was specifically a nerd show, and so I tried to do nerd material, and I was like, well, I've got, like, maybe 45 seconds existing writing that would be appropriate, so mm-hmm. I had to write, like, 6 minutes
yeah.
of stuff that it was, like, the whole set itself would never be used again. There was definitely mm-hmm. stuff I would take out now.
Yeah, but
I liked it. Overall, I think it was pretty good, and yeah, it was just kind of
whatever.
Like...
whatever, you just, like, you do your work, and you show up, well, and that was you're it. A goddamn
like,
professional.
And I worked really hard on it for, like, a week. I was like, you know what, I only have a week to do this, but I'm gonna do the best thing I can do within a week. Mm-hmm. So I spent many hours on it, and I rehearsed the shit out of it, and I was ready to go. By the time I didn't need to look at my notes mm-hmm. or anything, like, it was all good, and so, like, that's what I've been trying to do, is just, like, make sure I'm prepared. Make sure I know the info, and then I'm turning up on time, and I'm like,
so, as you were saying, putting, like, another pebble in the trust bucket, you're getting the trust of folks like your peers and your Ooh. Comrades in comedy.
Yeah.
Being like, this person is a good person to work with, because I don't just assume that they are. I've seen them consistently show up and do yeah. their shit
yeah.
and not cause shit and not destroy something or yeah, whatever.
Or get hostile with the audience or whatever.
Right, like, yeah. and so you just are a consistent and well-natured person or whatever.
And I think that goes a very long way.
Right, and so that's
it's so hard to wrangle
over time.
People.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to wrangle people that just anybody who is, like, easy to deal with makes, like, really...
Big time.
Makes a lot of strides, I think.
Big time.
And so I'm finding that now.
I'm doing a lot of volunteer management in my job, and I will tell you that's exactly the case.
And just anybody who's, like, even mostly reliable. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be 100%. It's great if it is, but, yeah. like, if you're there, if you show up, like, 9 times out of 10, right on time, ready to rock, people will be like, you are so reliable, I love you, mm-hmm. basically. And that's kind of the message that I've been getting from people. Like, I imagine there are people who don't love my stuff, but people have been very nice. No one's been an asshole.
Yeah.
Really, and it's, like, it's so nice to kind of move past this, like, bit of negativity and into, like, we don't have to be
yeah.
nemeses at all.
As, like, fun and dramatic as that could be in, like,
sure.
a movie.
Sure, but that's
but
real
in,
life.
In fucking real life.
I don't
way
like
more,
having conflict with
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it's way more exhausting to have hate in your heart.
It is, and it's much easier for me to just be like, well, you said something dumb and it hurt my feelings and I wish you would take it back, but if you're not going to, whatever, I'm gonna fucking move on and we'll just be civil and it's
yeah.
fine.
And then that person just turned out to be, like, charming and cool.
And fine. And just totally fine.
Like, really funny. So
she was
fuck
super
yeah.
funny.
So
yeah.
there you go.
There you go. There you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
What a good resolution to that.
And it was great. It was a good show. I was very nervous about it. I didn't know you were coming until, like, the day before, which was really awesome. And then two other friends showed up, past guest Erin, mm-hmm. And her partner came, and it was really just fucking fun. Like, everybody was great. Gavin Clarkson's a local guy that I really love. I mean, I don't know him that well personally, but I've seen him quite a few
you
times.
Love his
and
material.
I love his material a lot. He's super funny. I'd love to get him on sometime.
I hope that. So let this be on the record. He was the one that did the alphabet.
He did the alphabet. He did, like, a parody of the elf, like, I don't know what it's called, the alphabet rap or whatever from Blackalicious, mm-hmm. I think. And he did it all nerd-themed, and it was amazing. The one about Professor Xavier for X was so good.
Yeah,
like,
I was glad that he did that.
Professor Xavier, the X-Men xenophobia, or something like that. I was like, holy fucking shit, you scrawny little nerd.
He did it.
He did that shit.
This was a very themed show, and so maybe people aren't going to reuse some of the gems that they came out with last night, but, like, I hope that they do. It spoke to my soul. Like, I was
it truly
really
did.
It.
There was a lot of people on that bill that I really like, people who've done our show before. Alex Sparling was on. He's so funny. He's mm-hmm. so fucking funny. He had, like, these big skulls on his shoulders, like...
Yeah!
I love the costumes.
Screaming laughing.
There was only three of us that wore costumes. The host dressed what did she say? It was like she wanted to be like the overly competent sexy mechanic who, like, these men can't make this spaceship go, and then I just hit it with a wrench and it works. Yeah. And it just built a spaceship.
Oh yeah, and then she was like, someone guess what my favorite film was, and I said Firefly, I mean Serenity, and then I won a t-shirt. Yeah. So I felt pretty
now
good.
Now you got
about
like an 8-foot-long t-shirt.
I wore it to bed last night and it looked really hot. And now fantastic. I have a comic book t-shirt. So now
you're a nerd too. Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing. And Alex had the skulls, and I was dressed with my Trill spots and my Star Trek t-shirt.
You were so goddamn hot. I know that your parents listen to this, but whatever.
It's like, fine. I did look really hot.
Yeah. It just.
I could add a picture to it.
Yeah.
Pick. Yeah, it's a good one.
I think we talked about your nerddom in Rachel's episode. And
I just look
Trill
so
spots.
Good
guys,
in Trill spots.
You do.
I look better than the actresses look in Trill spots, almost. Mm-hmm. It's close. It's very close.
Well, because you've got freckly skin in general, and so it looks like they're just extended freckles. And it's
and cute. I also think I have this bit of a vibe that I put out that's kind of like, I maybe have some old people's knowledge inside of my body somewhere, so like I've got like a Trill symbiont that's got this like previous life knowledge, and I think
holy
I come out
shit.
Like a little bit like I'm a little wiser than I should be for my age. Sometimes, not always.
That's the only child thing.
Yeah.
It's we talked a little bit earlier today just about the differences in our only child upbringing.
Yeah.
Which like but I think that we both share that similarity of like we had to adapt to being with adults very
yep.
early
yep.
and figure out how to interact and just like not just get to really play and do kid stuff.
Yep. I can remember being asked to say the words sphygmomanometer a lot when I was a child,
fucking
which is a
shit.
Blood pressure machine. my aunt was a nurse, and she taught me the word, and it just was very cute when a 3-year-old says sphygmomanometer. It's a lot of syllables for a tiny little mouth.
Yeah. Aww.
It's fallen out of there. I've always been like perform for us, little monkey. And I'm just like, okay!
Uh-huh.
It worked. I'm fine.
I definitely had to, do a lot of dances in front of adults, like...
Old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be.
When I think about it now, because now I'm 30, I'm 31, and... My mom was 30 when she had me, so then I guess she was, like, 34 when I was 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's that is how math works.
Okay. And, like, to think about, like, make your 4-year-old do some cute shit and...
Oh, I would.
Like, we do that to our friends' kids all the time now.
Oh, my God, I love... And I can remember being really embarrassed about it as a child. Mm-hmm. Like, really profoundly...
But it's, like, probably all those adults were
like,
drunk and
like,
thought you were
why
so
are
funny.
You laughing at me?
Aww.
So much as a kid. And now, I think that's probably why I became a comedian. It's like, oh, I know why you're laughing.
Because
I'm hysterically funny.
Because I made you.
But it was like they would always get me to say something funny, and then they would laugh and be like, why are you laughing? I don't understand.
Yeah, but, like, with my friends' kids, like... We'll
yeah.
do that.
We're always drunk and like, dance for us, little monkeys, dance
yeah.
for us.
Or like, our one friend's kid who like, plays Smoke on the Water on guitar and he's 8 and he's so sincere about it. And
it's
just
adorable.
Like, play it again. And then he gets to like, lead a jam and we're like, yay! But like, it's true and it's all from a good place.
Those kids, have to be specific about who they belong to, but they do
for
like
privacy,
turn up.
They're their own people.
They're
too.
Their own people, and but they turn up to stuff and they do participate in a way that I find really interesting. In a way that I was never, I don't think I was allowed to as a kid. Like it was a matter of like, you go to the basement with all the other kids and you can watch. I think I've said this before. You can watch Kevin play Doom on the old computer.
Totally.
Like
that's another seeing a few of the friends that I have that bring their children to our adult things. There's, like, that balance where it's, like, the kid doesn't necessarily have to conform to what the adults want to just, like, be quiet, the adults are talking, mm-hmm. which is a hard stance.
Yeah.
You sit in the corner with your book and you shut
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
But it's, like, no, you get to play with us.
Yeah.
And then when
we don't do what they want to do, necessarily.
We don't do what
they
want
to
do.
They have to adapt to us.
Yeah, they can
but they're allowed
us,
to participate.
They're there. And then if it's, like, and then I also like that these friends that are parents that tell their children, like, you can do what we're doing, and you're more than welcome to join, and you will be part of the group, and you even get to lead a thing.
Yep.
Like, you can do it, or you can do your own thing, and you can sit in the other room and play video games or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's also fine.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do either, but you're welcome to do everything.
Like, I
like
that,
that
a lot.
So nice.
Giving, like, some serious choice is really
so
rad.
So nice.
Because I didn't really want to hang out with adults when I was a kid, I guess, but it happened a lot, and so just, like, it was kind of fun to go into the finished basement with the kids. There was, like, this, like, separate world for us,
mm-hmm.
where we'd, like, watch our Disney VHSs with, like, the puffy plastic cases that you would mm-hmm. just, like, you can probably smell it I imagine someone who's listening to this, like, I know exactly what that smells like when you open it up, because it's, like, that vinyl-y, plasticky, like, Little Mermaid, you know? Like, the white Disney plastic
yes,
ones
I know,
that,
exactly.
like, that pop open
I had The
when
Lion King,
them.
And that was it.
And it wasn't, like, the other VHS, which you just shake out of the cardboard. You know what I mean? You know what I
know.
You know what I'm talking about!
I do.
You do.
That made me think about a friend of ours, and again, I won't name names. This is, like, such a, like, blind item episode.
But, everybody knows who they are.
But yeah, but this isn't like, we're not shit-talking, this is just people's experiences, like...
We haven't really done that much shit-talking on this show. We've done a little.
We're nice people.
For the most part. We're sometimes mad, but we're generally not angry.
Nah.
Like, or we're like, mad but not angry. I feel like that's true.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not furious, I'm just like, meh.
Yeah, and then you get it out and then it's gone.
And it's, well, that's why I'm not mad anymore about that whole thing that went down. I'm like... It's fucking fine. I don't care. I just want to be friends with everybody.
But so I had a friend that had a really hard time because her parents would always give her shit for not participating in stuff.
Mm.
And she was from a big family, and so then maybe people that have a bigger family maybe know the struggle more than myself as an only
you
child.
You and I, yeah.
And yourself, right? So it was like, oh, you're not participating. That's not good. You have to join us. And like, she was never given the option to just not.
Do her own thing, yeah.
And so then she didn't feel like she ever had the option to not do stuff, and she just had to, like, suffer through shit that made her feel so bad and uncomfortable.
Oh, God, that could be really badly translated.
Right?
Into,
and
like,
it, and
for
it,
sex, like, that's... So you think, like, oh, well, you just... Everybody else, what they want to do is more important than what you want to do. So it's a bad message to get.
I don't know about this friend and her experience with that necessarily, but I do know that just hanging out with me, and I'm like, I'm doing all these things, and this is great, so come and do this. And then she would... participate in the thing and be, and then later would tell me, like, I hated it, I felt so uncomfortable. I'm like, oh my god.
Then don't come.
Why didn't you just not come? And it's like, well, but I get in trouble if I don't come do the thing. I have to participate.
That's so tough.
I'm like, oh, fuck. So, like, that's, like, one of the, my other, like, friendship rules, like, I don't know.
The collective agreement?
Yeah, where it's like, I'm always going to invite you, and yeah. you can always tell me no, and yeah. I'll always keep inviting you to stuff. And
unless I don't... you tell me to not invite you.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. That's another thing, too. But it's like, you can tell me to not invite you to certain types of things. I'll remember.
Yeah.
I will. That's a promise that I have because I care about you.
I've only just recently been able to start saying no to things I don't really feel like going to. I'm just like, you know what? You know, that sounds awesome, but I'm not really up to it, so I hope you have a great time, and let's try to do something different a little bit later.
Like, there's many ways... to do that. But I just really, I would rather you don't come to a thing if you're not going to have a good time.
It's, we're not taking attendance.
I don't want you to have to suffer through
that's
something.
That's not the kind of friendships
that
we want to have with people. You know, like, we're not like, oh, you're here. You've come to, like, X amount of things, so you're a good friend. Like, no. If you come out to one thing all year and you have a great time, and then you
so
never come out,
you.
I would be so happy to see you. I will always welcome you with open arms, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't, no burnt bridges for the most part. Like, I just, like, anybody is welcome to talk to me anytime. And we'll just, like, try to be friendly as much as possible. Like, try to make it so that everybody can have a good time. I just, that sense of pressure to just show up and do the thing, like, because you think other people want it. I understand it. I really do.
Yeah, you do.
I really
over
do.
Over easy eggs.
Over easy eggs. Fucking over easy eggs. Did we talk about that the last
yes,
episode?
We did.
Yeah, we did. I've gotten better about that now because I've gotten a lot of really wet whites lately. And I was like, no more! It's gonna be over easy from now on. I'm like, if you break it, make me a new one. You've got unlimited eggs.
Runny yolks or get the fuck out. But
yeah,
no,
well, it's like,
no runny whites.
You gotta, well, that's why I baste my eggs every time. I like,
yes.
I fry them, I put a lid on with a little bit of water in there,
fuck
they
yeah,
steam. And so, like, it gets all cooked up top, but it's a wet ass yolk, and that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. I just love breakfast. Just thinking about how much eggs are good.
Yeah.
And they are.
Gosh. Anyway.
Super fascinating.
Whatever. You were talking earlier about, earlier not on record. We've been hanging out for a long time.
Yeah.
Before we started.
We went
recording.
For lunch. That's great.
But about how friends of yours would send a message being like, hey, I saw that you've been doing some cool stuff and I just wanted to let you know.
Oh yeah.
And like, and then I've been saying, like, one of my, again, friendship lines that I love, maybe this is like peeling back the curtain, and it's not like I'm doing it because I'm trying to, like, put on a, here's my script, but it's genuine. It's like, hey, you're fucking on my radar. You've been doing a lot of good stuff lately.
Seeing it coming up on Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
you're just in my feed and I see that you're doing cool stuff. Like, if and then if I run into you on the street, it's like, fucking hey, you seem like you're doing a really good thing. Like, I ran into a friend of mine literally just on the street as I was trying to find a print shop because they had a banner that I had to pick up. And I nearly collided with this friend in the street and she was like, I can't talk. I am here with this group of teenage girls, and we're doing girls' rock camp, and I'm one of the vocal teachers now.
Holy shit.
And I'm like, yes, I have been seeing that you've been doing that, and this is the band, and that this is their name, because I remembered that she posted the name of the band. Now I forget it. It was something adorable. And I was like, girls, have a fucking awesome show. And I swore at 13-year-olds, and they giggled, and then they just went on their way. But
that's
it's so like,
rad.
The friend then sent me a message like, thank you for remembering that I was doing that.
Was that a past guest of ours?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I wasn't sure if that was familiar to me or not, but I really love that. Yeah, no, I got a message yesterday or the day before, I want to say, because we always post our podcast episodes. Not every single one, but we do at least every other one, I think. We promote
them. You and
I
alternate, and then we share the posts.
Yeah, I don't always share them just because if you do the same thing so consistently, it's going to start getting invisible unless you pay them money, which is unfortunate. So you have to be really crafty.
That's like the opposite of what we were talking about before, like the pebble in the trust bucket. Like, yeah. It is good to show up consistently.
But you can only have one rock in the bucket at any time, so it's like, it's tough.
So we have always been releasing everything on time every Tuesday, this
podcast.
We haven't
missed a day.
But we haven't promoted it all the time because it will get lost in the shuffle.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to exhaust our friends or whatever, and I figured, like, if somebody gets into one episode, they're probably going to end up, like, downloading a bunch. And so that they'll catch the stuff that they missed before.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the write-ups are going to be pretty indicative of what you're about to find out. That's sort of what they're for. But
It's almost like. That's actually the point of writing up what the episode is about.
But I got a really nice message just because I left a comment on someone's picture. It was like for my this guy Rob, who I know from North Delta, and is friends with like... The nasty breakup that I went through. He's like good friends with the guy who like broke my heart, basically. But this is, again... 10 fucking years ago, so it's really not a big deal.
It's a delicious, distant memory
it's
that we
super
can just
distant,
be like,
and I'm not upset. I'm super not upset about it now. I could not give a shit. But I just sometimes go like, that guy. But I don't even really feel that way. I'm just like, that guy.
It's part of the fabric of who you are now.
Part of life's rich pageantry. But this guy, Rob, who is a total sweetheart, has this real weird habit, like, every 2 years of, like, sending me a message of support in just a very general thing. Like, we haven't really crossed paths at all. But he sent me a message saying, like, hey, thanks for the nice compliment you gave me. Like, I left a compliment on a photo or something like that. He's like, I see that you guys have, you've been, like, doing a podcast, and my wife's gotten me into podcasts lately, so I gotta check yours out. I told him I've been doing stand-up. He's like, please send me, like, your video. I wanna look at it when I have a chance. So it's just, like, super nice, because it's, like, somebody who has no investment in me at all as a person, but who I've obviously made enough of an impression on in the past that he cares that I am happy now. And
so
that's just
nice.
Such a small thing. And it seems so odd to fixate on it, but at the same time, it's so nice to be considered, and it's so nice to be cared about.
You know what that is? That's fucking thank you cards and the Christmas letter.
Yeah.
Which, like, gets a lot of shit because it's an antiquated mechanism, but
well,
I think
do that.
I know you do.
You know I do
that. When we talk about emotional labor... That's often an example that comes up where it's like, the women in people's lives always send the thank you cards to stuff, and why don't we do that more often? It's like... It's a lot of work.
It's a ton of work.
And if you do it in, like, a big batch, it doesn't really mean a lot, necessarily. But, like, a good thank you card...
Makes a difference,
like,
man.
It really does. So, my mother is a manager...
She is.
...in public health, and she...
I know this about her.
And she gave me a stack of thank you cards, because she is going to retire in 2 months. She's finally
Your mom is retiring?
She's finally gonna
Holy
retire.
Holy shit, we gotta get JoJo on here.
Yeah, once she's not in the employ of the government, then she can come
talk a bunch of shit. I just adore her. She's wonderful.
She's so sweet. We definitely
We gotta do mom episodes.
Okay.
Get our moms on.
Brenda, I'm calling you out.
Brenda and Joanna, you're coming on the show.
Should we do it all together in a roundtable discussion?
No, I think we should do them separately. I think it'd be easier anyway.
Yeah.
I think my mom would be like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah,
I was like,
fair.
Yes, you do. You know, Brenda, you know how to talk.
Yeah, she
we'll
does.
Give her. We'll just pour wine down her. It'll be a great time.
I really love your mom a lot.
I love your mom
awesome.
A lot.
Yay.
We got great moms.
Okay. But so, my mom was giving me some advice.
Sure.
Because I'm working with a new team of people that are, like, very different than me.
Yeah.
And I, like, it's great. It's new. I'm still trying to find my footing. And she's like, you know what fucking makes a big difference is a goddamn thank you card. She did not say that. She's very sweet.
She's too. She would never say a fucking and goddamn.
No,
but...
she would never. She was like, you know what makes a difference?
A thank you card.
A thank you card. And she was like, I brought you 7.
You.
So there's like 3 for each of your cards.
Have you?
That's not how math works.
You've never,
that would be 9.
Oh, that's a good thing we have degrees in the arts and social sciences.
Oh, God. Anyway, she was like, here's a bunch of thank you cards.
Yeah.
I use them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
as a manager, as a coworker, and I would just, the card says thank you. It looks very pretty. Sorry, everything just like...
exploded?
No, it's fine. Just my computer's freezing for some reason, even though I have the power plugged in.
What a dick.
It shouldn't do that.
Anyway.
It's just going to sleep because it's bored.
Because it's bored. I'm tired of listening to these bitches.
I hope you're not. I hope that you, listener, are doing dishes or going for like a fucking jog or whatever, because we certainly are not.
We're not jogging at all. We are sweating, though.
Yeah.
As if we were.
Podcasting is cardio.
It's totally cardio.
But she was like, so I give thank you cards to everybody, but not indiscriminately. She's very good at acknowledging, like, here's one tiny thing that you did that I appreciated.
I don't remember if I sent her a card for putting me up for a couple nights.
You did.
Did I?
Or something.
I asked you for her address, I think.
I'm not sure.
I think I did.
No, I'm sure that you did.
That's and, like, very
I,
me.
I had another friend that stayed at her house with me, and then he asked again another time, like, I'm going to Gibson's for a wedding. This is weird, but can I just stay at your mom's house even if you're not there? I'm like... well, I would say no to you, but I'll ask my mom, because it's her house. And she was like, I love that guy! And he showed up, and they hosted him, and he made her a pottery bowl as a gift.
I bet she loved
it. And brought
it,
and she adores it.
She's the most open-hearted person I've ever met, I think.
Yeah, but so she really was like...
so much less salty than we are.
Yeah, she really is, like, why I'm a good person. Because, like, my dad is horrible, but I learned boundaries... from dealing with him, and I learned, like, cutthroat ruthlessness from him because he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
But my mom made me sweet, so, like, I have mostly good intentions because I mostly live with her.
Yeah.
If I live with my dad, I would be, like, an assassin, I think. Or something. Like, I would be probably a murderer.
The fucking...
or an embezzler. No,
the
I
The fucking turnip terror.
Yeah, like, maybe I would go back to Poland and be involved in the mafia.
The Polish mafia.
So benign.
I was like, hey, you want some pierogies? Psych, they're poison.
Count?
I don't know what the accent is. I don't do a lot of good accent work.
That's pretty close to that.
It's pretty close.
Dzień dobry.
I
impressed a man the other day by speaking Polish to him because he came in and he was like, how did you know that my name was spelled like that when I just said it? And I was like, I understand how letters work in Polish because my last name is Rzepa. And he's like, oh, do you speak Polish? I'm like, no, just enough to be polite. And he's like, say something to me. And I said, dziękuję bardzo. And he was like,
oh, I have a boner.
Proszę bardzo. He was like an old man. And he was like, that was really good. I was like, cool.
He hasn't moved in 40 years.
Oh, God. I really hope I didn't give him a weird Polish boner.
A weird bratwurst. Yes, that's
German.
Yeah, but what
kielbasa.
Are they called? Kielbasa.
Mm-hmm.
Kielbasa sausage.
Why are we talking about this?
Who the fuck knows?
This is horrible. But, so, my mom balanced me out.
Your mom balanced you out.
She made me a better person.
That thank you cards are a good thing.
Yes.
And this is the thing my parents are extremely, extremely severe on. They like, I remember being almost literally chained to a desk at age 5 or 6 to send thank you notes for my birthday.
My grandma
made
me do that.
And
I think
hated
my mom
it.
Got it once removed where she was like, I'm not going to force you, but I know it makes people feel good. Like, she really, like... went to the emotional place. She's
oh,
like,
I was just forced.
She was like, do you know how good it feels to get one? I was like, yeah, I love it. And she's like, cool, why don't you do that for somebody else? And that was like very much like, you have the power to change the world.
You have the power to make someone feel a feeling.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. And that, like, if we're getting into that, we've been shit-talking ourselves for like, oh, we're doing other podcast bits on the podcast, but I mean, that's a Pete Holmes, you made it weird thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have the ability, you have a magical power to change the way someone feels about themselves at any given moment. And it's totally how I feel about it. And I'm like a big thank you cards person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever seen my drawer where I have all of my stationery, but I have like 90 blank cards.
Mm.
And so it's like, if anybody wants a thank you card, or just a card, just send me your address. Literally send me your address to cheagspodcast@gmail.com and I will send you a card and it will be full of text and I will write the whole thing for you and you will feel so special when you get it. I'm not joking.
If
you're listening
to
this...
if you have to ask for it, sometimes it doesn't feel as good.
Well, it will by the time it gets to you, I promise.
Oh,
that I will
cool.
write a really, like, this
cool,
is a
cool.
true thing. I will pay for the postage, send me a request for a card, and I will send you one. That is just how much I like writing cards for
That's
people.
That's so nice.
I just got so much stationery. I have so many cards. My dad bought me a bunch of bird ones.
Nice.
Because John Organ's a true friend of the podcast,
yeah.
True friend of me.
Put a bird on
it. True good dad.
That's why Portland is your soul home.
It's my soul home, and I can't wait to go back. I'm going back on the 6th. Super psyched. Gonna do some comedy down there soon. Should be really good. Get to stay with my girl, Nikki.
God. So, you know how on, like, the hottest day that we had our ice pack strapped to us and we were talking, it was either that or some other episode.
It would be one of them.
Whatever. We were talking about, like, we want to have a dirtbag summer. I feel like it's finally coming true.
Yeah.
And I'm really into it.
We're having a total dirtbag day. We went for lunch. We got, like, a big plates of fries and stuff, and we were just drinking beers. Ooh. Beers and scissors. And just sitting in the sun and just singing along with the songs on the radio.
And last night, after the comedy show, so we had our friends with us in the car. We'll maybe get into this another time.
I was sober enough to be driving, I would say. Like,
oh, yeah,
I think
yeah.
I just had, like, a glass and a half of wine.
Yes, I did not mean to conflate the two things. So this was a separate
I drove
day.
People home last night because yes. I was mostly sober.
Exactly. Katie, you were performing because you're a goddamn fucking professional.
I'm a goddamn professional. I don't get super. I mean, a professional amateur.
Yeah. You had a glass of wine at the beginning of the evening, maybe topped up a little bit. You did your set. You stayed sober. You drove us home.
Drove us home.
You were an amazing person. We had some
Thank
friends.
You so much for acknowledging
us. Yeah, because I now have a vehicle, and my partner and I have been trading off designated drivering. It's annoying.
It is annoying. I want to just be driven all the time.
But we do it in, like, a very equitable way where
sure.
we went to the beach, we went for a swim one night, and then we went for dinner after. And I was like, oh, I don't really like this wine, and I'm not really feeling it. I have to work tomorrow. And Ed was like, cool, can I have a bunch of beers and you drive home? And I'm like, yes, that sounds perfectly reasonable.
Totally.
And then another day, I was like, I have the day off tomorrow. Can I drink some wine? And then you can drive home. He was like, yes, that sounds perfectly reasonable. So
totally.
How
That's
good.
Great to do.
How balanced.
It's really good to do that balance. And
but, so you did that for me last night.
And if Tessa comes out, she usually drives me.
Mm-hmm.
My sweet baby girl.
That was a very good thing, or it is a good thing, about being in a band with a person that never has drank. Like, he just doesn't drink.
Rowan,
the accordion player from the Creaking Planks. He would not be sad
that's
so that I told him. He just is sober. But then he also just didn't have a driver's license until 2 years ago. Or three, maybe.
So now he just has to drive everybody
yes,
all the time.
Because it was the most fucking frustrating thing where it's like, he's not drinking and he's not driving us? What the fuck?
What we the could fuck? All... What a waste of time.
Like, we literally, we did a bunch of shows in San Francisco, which at the time was more craft brewing than Vancouver was.
Yeah.
And my friend Nathaniel, who is a craft brewing superstar man.
Barry Sachs player Nathaniel.
Yeah, who now basically runs, or he like has a bunch of beers at Callister Brewery. And we were in San Francisco and he and I had to trade off not drinking the beer that was so good to drive our rental car
That's
around.
Infuriating.
When Rowan didn't drink at all and also didn't drive. And we're like, fuck you.
You're on blast for 2 years ago, Rowan.
But now it's all good. It's all good.
It's all good. Now he drives, which is perfect.
Yes, but it just was really, it was really nice to be in a band because it's like, I will have a couple of glasses of wine at the gig and then you'll drive me home and it'll be awesome.
That's what that was a good thing about the Dreadnoughts is that Marco always had to drive because we had a rental van and it mm-hmm. was in his name and so he could only be the one who drove. So I was like, well, I'm drunk forever.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have an insane alcohol tolerance. Just fucking crazy. I shouldn't be able to drink as much as I do.
Gosh.
I'm usually pretty good.
I think we maybe talk about that too much on the phone.
Well, we like to drink alcohol. It's fine. We're not so... I'm going to do a joke about this eventually and it was just that, like, my parents... like to drink alcohol. They really mm-hmm. enjoy wine, and they, you know, I don't think that they're alcoholics at all, mm-mm. necessarily, but if they are, they're exceptionally functional, which to me feels a little bit like permission.
Yeah. I don't think that they are. I think they're just fun-loving people that...
And that's the way I think I am,
they enjoy
too.
Their leisure time big time.
Yeah.
They get their shit done.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're... chill most of the time.
All my shit is done, and that's why I know yeah. that I'm not going too far with any of my things.
So
it's like, I'm not letting anyone down, I'm not, like, worst case scenario, worst case Ontario, I'm just, like, a little bit silly. That's from, have you not heard that before?
No!
It's from Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, I like it a lot!
That's a Ricky bit, that's a Ricky-ism. Oh, worst case Ontario, gosh. I love a malapropism from Ricky.
Gosh, that's good.
It's good stuff.
So I want to drop the subject because it almost feels like the lady doth protest too much a little bit, but we're just like... we've given ourselves permission to have a dirtbag weekend. It's a long weekend.
We're just dirtbagging it real hardcore.
And I have no plans. I have nothing that I have to do. All I want to do is hang out with my good friend and just, like...
That's me!
Shit talk.
Is that me?
For a good time. Oh, it is you. Yeah.
Me.
We're here right now. We're doing it.
Oh my god, we're doing
it. We're doing the thing that I just
we're
said.
We're doing it, Peter.
I'm so sweaty.
Me too. It's fine. It's fine.
But what I wanted to say was...
okay.
You very responsibly and soberly drove us home.
Yes.
And you're blasting
the Hamilton soundtrack. Oh, I've been converted.
Yes, she did.
If we can refer back to our episode with sweet, sweet Steve Venegas, who is now a dad. I don't know if we've discussed that on the podcast.
It happened.
But it happened. It happened like mere weeks after we had him on the podcast. They have a beautiful daughter named Izzy.
She's so sweet.
She's so sweet. She's the cutest little baby. I'm getting updates every day. It's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy. I've never seen a couple like who wanted a baby more to like just have such a wonderful time with
and
this little kidlet.
And they're doing so good. And they're just like,
I should bring them a casserole or something. It's just such a cute little
baby. Did you write a congratulations card on their baby?
I will now that you mentioned that. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'll get their address and send them something physical.
Because, like, can we just give them, like, a sea shanty type onesie from the Sea Hags to baby Izzy?
Let's just get that. Let's because get her, like, a little onesie with some sea shit on it.
I don't like to get baby present, like baby clothes as a present until I've seen the baby and held the baby, and then you can know what fucking size the baby is for now. Because you buy, like, newborn onesies and the baby comes out, like, 10 pounds, like, Lucy, my friend's kid.
She's, like, 12 pounds. She was the biggest baby ever.
She was such a huge baby, and, like, any, like, newborn onesie...
Haven't had their second baby yet, have they?
Very soon.
Oh, so soon.
Very soon. Like...
In mere moments.
The due date is tomorrow, literally. So
oh my god, I'm just
it's on my calendar. I keep track of my friend's due dates because I'm a creep.
There's a lot of people having babies this year. And she turned up to a jam that we had a little while ago and I was like, oh my god, you are so very pregnant.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I just thought it. I hope she's not mad if she hears
this. No, because I literally said that to her.
She looks like she's so fucking over it. Like, mm-hmm. She's like, this is done. I'm done.
Yeah.
This is over.
That's baby number two, and she's like,
I think two is it.
I knew what this was like, and I did it anyway, and I was like, God bless you.
God bless you. The first, like, one's so cute.
Yeah, and these people have made amazing children already, and they're both amazing people.
Amazing children.
The one child.
Children.
And they're both amazing people, and I, like, want them to be my parents, and I'm jealous of their kids. Like, I think I've said this before.
Well, you babysit for them a fair bit, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, little kid likes you. She's so funny. She's like, she just peed everywhere that day.
I know.
She's had a diaper. She's like, gotta go pee. So, like, okay, now you're peeing under a tree. Now you're peeing in a bush. Now you're peeing by a rock. Now you're peeing by a brush.
I didn't learn how to pee outside until I was 12 years old. So I'm really excited.
I didn't learn how to pee outside until, like, 2 minutes ago, basically. Like, the only time I've peed extensively outdoors in the last 10 years was the day we conceived of this podcast on the beach with Carmen.
Because there was literally no other
There was
option.
Nothing else to do.
You could go swim in the ocean.
Oh my god, no, I did pee in the ocean when we went in the ocean. I waited till you were far away from me, because I'm a considerate
that's
friend.
That's fine, I wouldn't
but
care.
There was also this, like, sort of estuary or something, like, right by, like, where, like, the river, the little tiny river kind of ran into, I guess maybe it was Robert's Creek running in there, I don't know. Mm. There was, like, some running water, and there was all of these, like, logs, and it was arranged in such a way that it basically made a turlet. So I was able to use that, but I was like, please don't look at hope nobody comes by while I'm doing it.
That was literally right at a campsite thing, like a cabin.
The fact that I was able to pee outside twice in one day is heroic for me.
It's because you were on mushrooms, Katie.
Don't tell everybody that I was on...
No, I didn't.
I was on the smallest amount of mushrooms. Sorry, Mom and Dad. Don't edit it. It's fine.
No, I want to put
it
in the marker.
No, let them know. Let them know.
We were so cagey about it on our first episode. We were like, we just
I've done mushrooms a small handful of times.
I've done a lot of mushrooms. But not for the last long time.
Yeah, the last time I did it was last year with you at the beach. Yeah. That was the last time I've done
them. I feel like I'm due for like a big one.
You want to go do some mushrooms?
Yeah, I do.
Right now?
We should take a break.
I really do need to pee,
We're not going to do mushrooms. We're going to come back and keep recording. Okay?
We're going to come back and be on mushrooms.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. And are we back?
We're back.
Oh my god, we're back. We did a million mushrooms.
We didn't.
We didn't. We peed and then got more wine.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of like mushrooms, I guess.
It's banal.
Boy, did we ever have a great conversation that did not make it on the podcast.
Gosh.
It will never make it on the podcast.
All of a sudden, a lot of boundaries came down. I told Katie a lot of my secrets.
I got a lot of special secrets. But there were secrets I would have guessed if you had been like, guess what my secrets are.
Sure. But remember, there was the episode where with Dom where I was like, Josh McNerney knows all my secrets. You now know all of mine as well.
Oh, that's so great.
So you've
great.
Been justified. Mm.
Suck on that, Josh McNerney.
It's now...
you think you're better than me?
Now you probably know more than he does.
Yes!
Yeah, so you now are, like, prime.
Now I'm the true
keeper.
Friend. Now I'm the true, the alpha friend. Good, this is what I've wanted forever.
Next time I go back to London, though, he and I will do all kinds of weird shit that I'll never tell you.
You're gonna have to come up with a better new secret and then never tell me until it comes out later, in between podcast recordings.
Yeah, well, apparently we just got the, wheels of conversation turning.
That happens sometimes. From time to time, it does happen.
And then, yeah, I had to definitely not press record because it was very implicating.
Oh, super.
So I'm just going to
let
you, the listener, just digest that. Ooh. Anyway, we've done some stuff. We've lived some lives. We're actually very interesting.
We're actually very interesting. Just fucking ask us.
Yeah.
We'll tell you.
Most of the time, we're just talking about, like, I don't know, I'm, like, really tired from work, but it's, like, in my past... And also present, I do some stuff that I just never tell anyone about. It's fun. It's like
just a little minx.
It's like I'm a superhero.
It is like that.
It's my
bit.
Alter ego.
Anyway. It was a really fun conversation. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
So I want to just like maybe go back to some of the stuff we were talking about over breakfast or our breakfast at 3 p.m. because it's Dirtbag Day.
Dirtbag Day.
That's the name of this. I think this episode's going to be just called Dirtbag Day probably because that's what we're doing. And I've been like the whole summer. I've been like, I want to have a dirtbag summer where I'm just like stoned and or day drunk all the time. Just like. Like, kissing cute people and hanging out with them and chilling and just, like,
really having
a fun time.
And it hasn't really come to fruition until, like, now, apparently. Like, the thirst has become real and...
It's very real. Well, are we gonna smooch? We can do it right now.
Mm.
No?
Not
you don't want
podcast.
Not on the podcast? No? It's not...
That's
no
too
Foley
salacious.
Work. Mwah, 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 mwah.
Patrick Malia will call us lesbians if we kiss
oh,
on the
no?
podcast.
Oh, no? He called me a lesbian so many times last night. I'm like, that's a half-truth. Let's pretend like, that we're kissing. Mwah, mwah, mwah,
yeah,
mwah,
I was like,
mwah.
I had to yell because Patrick Malia at the show last night was like, the lesbian in the back. And I'm like,
that's me, by
yeah.
the way.
And I'm like, technically, me also. And then if you combine Katie and I, then you make a full lesbian.
You make a full lesbian and then a straight woman
yeah,
on the other
like,
side. Yeah. It's
which
like,
is fine.
If we're being particular, I'm bisexual or pansexual, Patrick. But that's not good for comedy.
Yeah.
Because I did a bit about how, like, I got asked to do a Buffy joke, because obviously I did. Like, it's clearly I do Buffy jokes. And I did a bit about how I wanted to be Buffy, but I was more like Willow, which means that I turned into a gay witch when I was old.
Yeah.
So I think he just took that and was like, oh yeah, definitely gay, and also that I look extremely gay, and also that I'm married to a woman.
Like, all of these context clues.
All these context clues, which would make it not unreasonable for him to call me a lesbian, but he called me the lesbian.
Yeah, which
is the designation that I'm like, I'm not comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. I'm not the lesbian.
Yeah, so then I had to pipe up and be like, there's other people here that you could also not quite claim that about.
It's
had
a
good
half-truth.
Today was the Vancouver Dyke March, and I set up a booth for my work, because I work for a local politician.
Politics.
I have intimated before, and so I got to tweet out a picture of me in a crop top with a sticker that says, I'm on team by, in front of a picture of my boss's face, which was, like, very cool.
That's a fun moment.
Right? Like,
it
that,
is good.
That feels good as, like, a Canadian in politics to be like, we actually are super into, like... trans people's rights. Like, my boss told me, like, I need you to go buy a trans flag that we can not just print one out for this event. Like, I need you to buy one that we can keep in the office.
So awesome.
You have a budget of $100. Get a big one.
That's a big fucking
like,
trans flag.
I fucking will. 100%. And so I did. And now we're flying it, like, proudly in the office.
Pow. That's
so
wonderful.
Good. So good.
That's so freaking good. That makes me think, like, I realize that how lucky I am to have the job that I have as well, mm-hmm. where I, like, have a boss who knows almost everything that is necessary to know about me, and my coworker, the one that we're on the same kind of level, we're both bisexual, and so we've talked a lot about dating both women and men, and my boss is always kind of like, oh, well, that's weird, but great, like, good, do your thing, like, yeah. She's just like, oh, I'm learning,
mm-hmm.
and that's such a fun thing for us, because it's like my colleague and I are just, we don't really think about it much, and I think that we're very, it's quite a luxury that in this generation that we don't really have to hoist that flag too much
mm-hmm.
until we get to the point where people are, like, looking at bisexual characters in, like, television and film mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and they're being misrepresented and all
I like that
shit.
Tweet about, like, let's start a new rumor that bisexuals are obsessed with soup or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I liked it. I think I saw that on Tumblr, and I was like, actually, I love soup.
Yeah.
I love to make soup.
I don't care for soup, but I make a good soup. I guess that's something.
That is something that the ability to make soup is integral to your bisexuality or something.
I don't know. It's just but it's like, it's not a salacious thing that we have lots of sex and we just do all kinds of crazy
stuff. It's like a misnomer.
Like,
it's Mara Wilson, actually, who was talking about that, how, like, because she recently came out. She's a child child actor who is now an author. And she was in Mrs. Doubtfire, and she was Matilda in the eponymous film Matilda. And I love her, and she recently came out as bisexual. And she's like, I really wish that there was anything that I could do about being bi that didn't have to do with, like, I want to fuck everybody! Because that's not how either of us feel about, well, I mean, it's sometimes how we feel about things, but from time to time. But it's just like, there's nothing, it has sexual right in the title. You can't say that you're gay or straight. Like, you're, like, bisexual. So it always ends up, like, just putting into people's brains, like, we're fucking.
Yeah, in, like, a pile.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that is how we generally do it. Mm. At least in my experience, it's just a big old flesh pile.
Your parents listen to this.
They'll be fine.
They know that this is for comedy.
It's fine. I'm not having sex in a flesh pile. I'm very uptight because you ruined me. It's not true. They were actually really cool about sex and they never fucked me up about that.
Oh, that's so good.
Just put that out. John and Brenda did not fuck me up about sex. They were real cool about it.
But I remember, like, when I was first really realizing that I was bi, it was very much like, but I don't want to be one of those bad bisexuals that could never, like, be monogamous, and they always want to have a male and a female partner, and I was like, but I do. Like, I really would like to have a big collective of people that I just get to be lovers with all the time.
It's lovers, like, in a dangerous time.
Yeah. And so, but the, does that, like, then I'm not, like, a good bisexual because I'm one of the deviant ones, and it's like, well, no, like, in my life now, it's like, I've been in a monogamous relationship with a man for 9 years.
Wow. Long time. Long comps.
Shit's good. Life is good.
Life's good. I've had some cool experiences. I've done some cool shit.
Do what you want.
Do what you gotta do.
And yeah, everything is fine.
Everything's good. Everything's great.
I'm feeling shy because now I just said that I wouldn't talk about our relationship on the podcast.
Still didn't really. You just said that you've been together for like 9 years, and that's fine. And I love your partner very much. I think he's a wonderful person.
Yeah, he's fucking amazing.
Big fan. Big fan.
Last week's past guest, Calvin Arsenia, saw how my partner and I interacted, and he was just like, wow, he's, like, such an alpha male, and he just, like, fixes shit and gets shit done. I'm just like, I know, isn't it awesome?
That's so funny. I don't really think of him that way, but I do think of him as a handy fella.
Yeah. Well, he builds guitars and things with his hands.
Does things with his hands, which is really cool, because I don't know anybody else who really does that. Not everybody I know has, like, a PhD or an MA or whatever. We're all pieces of shit who are going to die in the apocalypse.
Pretty good. So, everyone come to my house, because we have provisions, and he can
There's
shoot a
bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow. So good.
He can fish, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, that's some...
Yeah, I, like, so Calvin was talking about, like, I would like to find a partner who's, like, incredibly competent, and I can just be, like, musical. And I'm like, you can be both of those things.
I'm like, Calvin, talk to me for a second. I can do it all.
You would.
He's gorgeous. Sorry, let me just put that out there.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, the whole time we were recording that episode, because he's a beautiful, beautiful creature with a gorgeous voice.
Why do you think when he was like, and then when we hung out in Edinburgh, it seemed like we hung out for years, but it was only 4 months. I'm like, because we spent every day together, because you're beautiful and so fun. Great.
What a delightful creature.
Yeah, so
I hope to meet him again
That was a nice, I guess, to catch us up again. Mm-hmm. We played a bunch of shows, so we did the recording the day that he got in town, and then we played a show on the Saturday night, which turned into a Saturday afternoon rehearsal at a garden party.
Fun.
Yeah, with our accordion player's parents threw a garden party, and we, like, hung out in their garden and played for, like, 2.5 hours.
Nice. That's awesome.
And then the gig that we were supposed to do that night was supposed to be an hour set, and it wound up being a half an hour because all the shit got pushed back, and it wasn't very good, but then we met some cool people, and then we played the Sunday show, which I thought was going to be much more packed, and there was literally 4 people that came. But it was the best people, because it was, like, past guest Allison, best friend Mark, like, and my roommate John, and then the guy that ran the space.
Wow.
So it was 4 performers and 4 audience members that showed up.
That's a little rough, but it can also be fun if you know the people.
But the guy, Rob, that runs the space that we did the show in, had the best sound, and so we recorded the whole thing. So I'm hopefully going to release that as a bonus episode.
So instead of the one that we recorded in here.
We'll see what happens. I need to do some reviewing on the audio. But it was, like, really beautiful, and I got to just basically meet these cool Scottish women.
That's awesome.
And, like, what a fun week. And then the next day, I was like, I have to work today. So then Calvin just, like, wandered on Commercial Drive.
Nice.
And he is just such an open soul that he met these amazing people.
Of course.
He went to Miscellany, which is the thrift store on the drive.
Yep.
Looking for bolo ties and brooches that he could wear while he performs. And he met the women there, and they were like, we love you.
Marry us.
And then he sang to them in the shop.
Of course.
Because they were like, what are you doing in Vancouver? He said, oh, I'm a musician. They said, what do you play? He said, I play harp and I sing. And they said, sing for us. And he just did.
Of course he did.
And he made them cry. And they said, we're all going to be on Spanish Banks tonight. Please come. And so then we all did that. And they live streamed it on Facebook.
What day was that?
Monday
was that,
night.
Wow, was that the best one that you did?
Yeah, so good. They just lit 100 candles around us on a picnic table.
Oh, how wonderful
was
that?
We played a concert and it was all these beautiful women.
How many people were there?
Maybe 17. And then
that's
we
such a specific
then
number.
We attracted more people and they live streamed it, so people in Costa Rica and Los Angeles were watching at the
like
same
on
time.
Twitch or something, or like Facebook Live?
Facebook Live.
That's so cool.
And so then suddenly these people were like, Calvin needs to come to Costa Rica.
I'm sure he'll do it.
He has a home to be in. Like, he can stay with us for
that's
as long
lovely.
As he wants. So, like, he's like,
what a dream
I'm going to do that.
What a sweet little angel boy.
And he just, he made all these amazing connections. I'm like, I remember being able to do that. And it just made me feel like a piece of my soul, like, sparked back up again. Like, remember that you have that power, too. All you have to do is just be open to shit.
Ugh. It's so tiring,
so
though.
Good.
It's so good. That's wonderful. He was so... Because I never met him before we sat down for the recording, basically,
yeah.
And I was just, like, crushing the whole time, obviously, because
he's
beautiful.
Wonderful.
He's beautiful. He has a beautiful voice, and he's just such a warm person. He touches you while you're talking in a way that is not creepy, and it's very hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to be his natural inclination is just, like, reach out and recognize you as a person and address you as a person, and you feel very human, which is like, oh, I don't get that usually.
Yep.
Usually I have to be the one doing the work.
Yeah.
And so to have someone else do the work at me is so exciting. It's like, you care enough to be putting effort into how other people perceive you. And then I get to take a break for one fucking second. And that's so awesome. I just loved it. I just thought it was so wonderful.
Interesting.
He's such a sweetie pie.
That makes me think about, like, I loved having him here, and it was amazing, and then I'm also very happy to have the house to myself for the week, because having a house guest, as much as you fucking adore them, and he's also a very capable, competent person that I was like, do whatever you want, and he's like, I will just be back here at some time.
Yep.
But at the same time, you know, someone sleeping in
the
your living room
on the
couch.
The presence of
someone
in your home.
Like, it was just a different
changes
thing.
Changes the feeling of everything.
And now we have another house guest this week. Who is, like, my longtime, most dirtbaggiest friend that I was in a band with for forever. He's the one that introduced me to Ed.
Oh,
it's Ferdy Belland.
Ferdy Belland. Oh,
the illustrious
We have
Ferdy
a dirtbag house guest. I'm like, who is it? I was like, oh, the person that you saw today that you already know, Katie. He's Ferdy.
Yeah.
Who I adore. I think he's
great. Yeah, and I have said that to him. I'm like, Ferdy, you're my dirtbaggiest friend. He's like, thank you.
Thank you.
Like,
well, I saw him.
Incredible.
I haven't seen him in, like, probably close to 3 years.
He moved out of town. Yeah.
About that time. And I don't think I've seen him since. And I was like, God damn, you haven't changed at all. You look exactly the same. He looks fresh-faced. So he's living in Cranbrook
now?
He's
gorgeous. He's having, like, amazing times in Cranbrook. Yeah, he's a carpenter. His wife runs a bookstore.
Perfect.
They both, like, co-produce shows together at the bookstore as a venue.
Perfect.
It's wonderful. I missed him a lot because I actually realized that I missed having a friend that I could just be like, fuck you, your taste in beer is terrible. You're the worst. I hate you. You're such a dirtbag. And he's like,
yes, I love you.
Yeah, and he's just like, yay. It's like really fun.
It was really nice to see him.
Yeah.
It really was nice to see Ferdy.
Right now he's at Biff Naked's wedding.
Of course, that's
a Canadian.
He's like friends with her new husband.
That's a Canadian thing that someone can look that up. We'll post a picture of her.
I'm going to put right
Didn't
that down.
Didn't Biff Naked do something on the Buffy soundtrack? We are the
lucky ones, dear. I saw her. I made out with her bass player a long time ago. I want to say that was 10 years ago, probably. It was after I got dumped in Australia, and I came back here. And my sweet, gorgeous, amazing friend Marquetta, who also had an ex-boyfriend from the same band.
Yes.
Took me up to Whistler for, like, 4 days to, like, stay in her uncle's cabin or whatever, and then we went and saw Biff Naked in Whistler, and I made out with her bass player for, like, 4 hours.
Awesome.
It was so good. It was what I needed at the time. He was super hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a cool experience. And I'm just like, shout out to Marquetta. She's not listening to this. I don't care. Like, I'll
just
let her know.
I remember loving her so much. She was really
She's a really lovely lady, and, she's pregnant. It's great. She's her fiancé Tom, and now they live in my neighborhood with her dog, and they're gonna have a baby. And I'm like, I'm gonna hug this baby so much. I'm just like, Marquetta fucking saved my life. Like, let's just put that out there. She, like, saved my life in 2006, I'm pretty sure. I probably would have survived regardless.
Yes.
But I would have been a much unhappier person if somebody hadn't been, like, looking out for me and making sure I was okay, because all of my friends did not want to hang out with me because I was too sad.
What did I do at that time?
Well, we were having a bit of a...
Yeah, we had some distance.
Like, a little bit of distance. It it wasn't bad. It wasn't like we didn't like each other. It was just like I was a real sad sack for a while, and that was just not what people wanted to be around. And
I think at the same time I had moved in with my previous partner like right at that time, and it was not good.
It was not a good time. No.
No. No. So, yeah, stuff was happening. Things were happening.
Things happen, and that's just what goes on sometimes.
But we were talking about the, like, beauty of having a long-term relationship, which you and I have.
Yeah.
Where you go through those ebbs and
flows. You're 9 years, and I'm almost 8 years.
Oh, no, but just you and I together.
Oh, you and I.
13 years.
Yeah, like 13 and yes, solid years of friendship.
Our partnerships with our current partners have been...
A long time.
Yeah, 9 and 8 years, which is, like...
For our age, quite a long time.
Holy fuck. Like, we're apparently relationship people.
I guess.
And, but the ebbs and flows of that is so interesting. Mm-hmm. And that you and I have even had, like, our down times and our slow times. And it's...
We have.
You know, some years of
I want to say, like, 18 to 20 were super intense. And then again, like, 20 to about 22 was kind of like, we would see each other 3 times a year, maybe, which was, like, I lived in Delta, and you lived in, like, way, way, way close to UBC, so it was, like, really hard to come out, but we still made it happen sometimes, and then after that all happened, and once I moved back to East Van, I saw you all the time, which is how I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Once I was over the river and through the woods, you know, out of North Delta and into New West or
and
whatever.
And now you're on the SkyTrain line, and I can just come.
We're very close by, and I got that spare room, you can come and have a sleepover in.
But the ebb and flows of stuff to actually maintain those connections, as opposed to just my instinct of, like,
let it go,
shut it down, we don't want to see anybody ever. And it's like, people listening to this that know me in life might be very surprised, because it's like, you are in contact with me all the time, though. And I'm like, so I don't mean to feel like I have burned bridges with anybody, so I'm like quite happy. But like, there are people that you know that I don't talk to anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, things just sort of taper off naturally.
But there are lots of people that I just want to see that I don't see. Yeah. And so that's why you hear from me and I invite you to things. Mm-hmm. And when we see each other, it's lovely.
Yeah.
But maybe I don't make the effort or you don't make the effort. It has to kind of go both ways. And...
Were we talking about that off mic then? It was like the about like inviting people to stuff, or were we talking about that during the podcast?
Yeah, I think we did that here.
Well, it's just like the whole idea of like, do what you need to do, but if you want to come, you will always be welcome.
Yeah. So I think the majority of my friends are like that, where it's like, I am going to do some cool shit and I want you to come. There are specific things that I will.
If you don't.
Yeah, but there are specific things that I'll write you and tell you, like, this is an important one.
Yeah.
And that's, I'll send an email and I'll be like, hello.
A tiny email.
Hello. Please come to this thing. It would be very important to me if you did.
Yeah.
Or I'll send a Facebook invite. Ooh. I'll just tweet about it. Or I'll just do whatever. But then, like, there's really nobody that I've, like, cut out.
I'm not that kind of person.
But at the same time, there are a few. And they know because I've told them. I'm very clear.
Yeah.
And so if I haven't... This is one... Okay, this is the thing that I'm trying to come to.
Quite a good gesture you just made. You made a rectangle with your hands.
Like, I literally will tell you, I don't think that we should talk anymore, or I don't want to talk to you anymore. Yeah. Otherwise... Please know that I want to see you.
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And I'm going through some shit on my own end.
Yeah.
Or I'm doing something different or whatever, but I'll invite you to things and maybe we'll see each other. And when I see you, I'm really happy to see you. But, like, if I don't want to see you, like, you will fucking know.
Yeah.
Because I will tell you. And I don't feel bad about that, because I feel like if you've gotten to the point where I say, like, I don't want to see you...
It's been some serious shit.
There's been some serious shit, and there's, like, incidents that I can point to.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-strike rule where I can be like, this happened, and this happened, and then that happened. Like, never come to my house again, please. Which I've said to someone.
Is that a person that we've both talked about this week?
Yes.
It's not anybody who listens to this.
No, maybe.
But that was such a fucking funny interaction. We won't go into it, but I was just like, I'm just confirming. Is it the person we're thinking of? It is. Great.
Straight up, this person told me, I'm going to give you an ultimatum. You can either not be friends with this person or not be friends with me. And I was like, oh, I pick you 100%. I don't want to be friends. Like, I pick him, rather. Wait, I said that weird.
Yeah, you said it wrong.
Shit.
Like, oh, I pick them.
Yeah, I picked them.
Your ultimatum sucks. Fuck off and never talk to me
again. Yeah, fuck off and never talk to me again. If you want to pull that, you know... Yeah.
This is not a subtle thing. You've been direct.
Yeah, either
this.
You pick them or me.
Yeah.
And I was like, them.
Them.
And he was like, you didn't even hesitate. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because...
There was no need.
There was no need.
There's no need. There's none.
Like, you and I are very tepid in general.
Yeah.
And so if you want me to cut this person that I'm very close to out of my life, or you.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking pick you.
You used to own 2 copies of the game.
Shush!
Shush, Katie, shush. That's all I was gonna say.
Oh, God.
That's so funny.
Anyway,
but I think that's good to be able to have that boundary with people, and so that the people who are kind of like not certain of how they are in your life, and I know that there's always going to be people like that, right? Because mm-hmm. we have complex relationships with people.
Yeah.
People put their own things on things, and they think like, well, does this person maybe not like me? It's nice to know that with you, they'll know directly.
Yes.
So and it's like if you think, let me be clear for a moment, is that if you think Chris doesn't like you, but she has not said it. She does. It's not a problem. Don't worry about it. Basically, she'll fucking tell you if she doesn't like you.
Yeah.
With me, it's a little bit different. Like, I'll be extraordinarily distant. I'll never talk to you if I don't like you, but I might not say it directly.
Mm-hmm.
But if I talk to you, like, on even a semi-regular basis, the chances are I love you to death.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very small population of people that I don't like.
Yeah.
And you're probably not on it if you're listening to this.
Yeah. So, like, I ran into a friend on the SkyTrain who has been sending me messages, and I just haven't been getting back to her. So, Sarah, hi. And she was just like, what's up? And I was like, I've been dark.
I've been in a dark place.
Like, I have been. And I perform, you know, on the podcast and everything. And it's like, shit's been hard. And I don't want to really hang out and talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And she was like, cool. And she said to me, which is why I do actually, like, love having her as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I didn't assume that you were mad at me. I knew that you had other stuff going on. I was like, bless you.
Bless you. It's so good to hear that. Just give me like a couple milliliters of that just to freshen up my...
Yeah.
What are we at with this one?
117.
Oh, we're getting close to the end there. Well, I just want to like pull up a couple last little things. Like what we're doing right now is we're trying to cover our asses because everyone's away. Pretty much. It's been very hard to pin down people who have talked about wanting to be guests because they're camping or they're cottaging or whatever.
Or I want to be going fucking camping.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm going to be away from the 4th to the 14th, which means like a full week and a bit where we can't record unless we do Skype and we don't do that shit because we're not demons. just kidding. I just really don't like Skype. So we're trying to, like, we're going to do 2 back-to-back with just the 2 of us just so that we've got enough in the can so that we've got stuff to put out while I'm away.
Oh, God.
And that's what's happening. So we're having a bit of we're having a total shit heel day, and it's totally fine. But one of the things we were talking about while we were at the Slow Can Family Diner, which is a favorite of the podcast. A couple things we haven't touched on yet. We talked about our killing with kindness, participating in the scene, like mm-hmm. just learning to love people that maybe were not nice off the bat, like mm-hmm. just working with things.
Just fucking get over it and...
Just fucking doing it. And like we talked about having house guests, no matter how much you love them, it's stressful to have them.
Oh, and also one of the things that I hate the fucking most.
Okay.
Is a warm toilet seat.
Okay, this is just totally contextless. Just kind of came out at me. You don't like sitting down on a toilet someone just vacated after sitting on for a long time.
Yes.
You're like, you can feel the ghost of a shit when you sit on a warm toilet seat.
Yes, because they've obviously been there for a long time. So they had to work out some shit.
Long tomps. Literally work out some shit.
Oh, dear. I did say that. I'm so sorry. But because right now I have not only myself, my partner, my roommate, and then my partner's best friend, who's also his business partner, who also works in our home,
mm-hmm.
plus a house guest, and then a small break, and then another house guest, 1 bathroom. When when the Scottish girls that we played the show were visiting, I was like, I need to take a shower, so I'm going to take a shower. And they were like, oh, where's your other bathroom? I was like, oh, girls, I'm so sorry.
We
like,
don't have that.
So if you need to go, go now. I'll be fast, but go now. And that's, like, a thing that we have in our house where, like, my roommate will come into the living room.
Announce.
My partner
shower.
And I will both have our headphones in. He just does a motion now where he puts his arm
I'm
over
showering.
He puts his arm over his head as if it's the shower head.
And does he wiggle his fingies?
And he scrubs his armpit. So it looks like he's making, like, I'm a monkey.
I'm a sexy little monkey.
But that's, like, I am going to take a shower. And he literally, like, wiggles his hips and stuff. And it's
Sweet
actually
baby
so
John.
Funny. It's so funny.
And you laugh so hard it makes you have to pee even if you didn't.
I always take the opportunity. As soon as he says, I need to take a shower, does anyone need to use the washroom before? I'm like, yes. In the time that it takes you to put on, like, take off all your clothes and put on a towel, I will be peed and happy. And I won't have to worry about it. Because otherwise I will be bitter and angry.
Just holding your whiz. Yeah. Pissing in your backyard.
I'm not going to pee in the backyard. I will pee in the woods whenever, but not my own backyard.
Not your own backyard where people at Starbucks can just watch you.
We're very visible.
Super vis.
You did just, like, give away the location of our secret lair.
Yeah. Oh, you're right by a Starbucks.
In Vancouver.
In Vancouver. Fucking narrows it right down.
Never mind.
You're fine.
I'm a fucking asshole. That was so funny.
Which one could it be?
Is it the one that's three blocks down from the other one, or the one across
the street from
the other
from
one?
This exact one? It's all fine.
Jesus,
so we're talking
Christ,
we wanted
Latter-day Saints.
We wanted to get into like just some saltiness, but we were kind of like in a good mood, so it's hard to access that. But we were like talking about our pet peeves. So many of mine are bathroom related.
Mm-hmm.
Have I talked about this on the podcast before? It's just like, because I work at a university, and our nearest bathroom is a 3-stall public bathroom, and I feel like no one should shit in it, because it's a very well-used location, mm-hmm. and I think that's like, you just pee in there. You go in, you pee, and you get out, but there are a few people who work in, like, certain offices who will just go in for, like, 9, 10, 15 minutes at a time and just take the grossest shits, loudest fucking...
Like Ali Wong comedy special.
Like Ali Wong's...
Ass-blasting.
Yeah, ass-blasting baby cobra.
Disgusting.
Disgusting public shit. Like, I can hear them in my office shitting is how loud they're shitting.
That's... horrific.
It's
I didn't realize
horrific.
You could hear it in your office.
Well, it's really, there's some people who have IBS, I think, who are coming in and using it. I'm like, this is such
a
major...
feel bad about them as soon as you put it in context.
See, I feel for them, but I'm also like, these are very high traffic locations in this area of the university. Like, a lot of people who are, like, visiting their profs, the people who are taking tutorials around here that come in here to pee. And you're just like, you're just camping in there and shitting for 20 minutes. I'm like, no. No. I go... I have a very specific bathroom. If I have to
poop
at work.
Don't tell.
I won't tell you. I won't tell anyone where it is. But I will say that it is very far out of
it's
the main thoroughfare.
It's behind the Terry Fox statue at SMU.
It's no, I have to like lift up the statue and crawl down into the secret toilet. No, it's somewhere between the second and third floor, and no one knows where it is if I don't tell them. And it's a single stall women's washroom,
oh,
and that's
God.
Where I shit if I have to. God forbid I have to. I go to work late just so I can poo at home, honestly, because I just, like, it's just one of those things that I just don't want to share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I get down there and I see someone else is in there, I'm furious. My anger knows no bounds, and it's always the same person. She's a teacher, and I used to work with her.
You guys both probably have the secret thing.
We both need to shit at the same time of day. It's like 10:30, we're ready to go, and I'm like... bitch, she got there first. I hate her forever.
Yeah. And she probably feels the same way about
I'm
you.
I'm sure she does. I think we both have, like, this secret, like, shit nod. No, it's like, we're not happy about this, but we're doing it anyway. It's fine. It's okay. So, like, that's bathroom stuff and the people who piss on seats and don't clean it up. People who hover and don't wipe up their own pee splatter. Execution. As far as I'm concerned, like, I want to cut their heads off myself. I'm only half joking when I say this. Like, it makes me so...
So serious, like, that you're being so serious that I actually feel uncomfortable.
Like, Katie, please don't murder people. I guess my thing is just, like, anything where I think somebody is not showing consideration to other people needing to use the same space that they use makes me very angry.
Yes. How about people that, if you look in the toilet... and you see that there's still business in there, and you don't give a next flush?
You're a dick.
You're a dick.
You're a Zach.
So,
if I can't sit down on the toilet seat because you've pissed all over it because you're a precious flower and you needed to not put your ass on the toilet seat, I hate you forever.
Like, how did they spray both sides at once? That's a talent.
What is with their fucking urethra? Like, it's goddamn superpowered. I don't know what's going on there, but, like, just wipe it up.
Yeah.
Just don't make it so I have to sit in it.
Yeah.
Or also hover, because I can't.
I just don't
understand,
physically, like,
can't do it.
I always just look behind me after I go.
Wouldn't you check out your handiwork? Like...
wouldn't you just check out to see if there's any trace of you left? Because I want to feel like a ghost in there.
I
don't
want
to feel like...
to be a bathroom ghost.
Yeah, in a bathroom, I don't want anyone to know that I've ever been there.
And here's... this is where I'm gonna take the contact point with the note that I had to put on a note card while we were out having our lunch, which was that we don't want to be regulars anywhere. And this is something that I've never experienced talking to anybody else, which is the fact that I feel very uncomfortable when a server at a restaurant knows me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want them to think that they know what I want.
Yes.
Or what my life is about.
Oh,
I want it to be this, like, transitory experience every time.
Yeah, we're here... our neutral interaction, like I was saying, is like a harm reduction client.
Yeah.
I kind of want that same similarity where it's like, this is the first time I've seen you, and so everything is fine. And I don't want them to necessarily reference, oh, you're getting the huevos rancheros again. That's what you love now. That's your
thing. You love it.
It's like, it's not my fucking thing.
My name is Carla, and I know that you like that. Like, fuck off, Carla. You don't know shit. You don't know about my life.
But I feel bad because I feel like servers want to build relationships with me.
Bitch, I'm going to give you 20% either way. Bring me my eggs and we're fine.
I don't know what it is that, like, my reluctance, and what it is like, I feel like I'm being judged.
Yeah.
Because often it's, whenever I go out, like, when I'm cooking at home, I'm cooking, like, my quinoa kale bowl, and when I go out, I'm getting my fucking sausage and eggs, and then when people are like, oh, another sausage and eggs, I'm like, fuck you, don't judge me.
You don't know what I make at home? I make, like, a big quinoa salad most weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, they don't know.
They don't know.
I don't think that they're doing that, but
like, hey, fat tits, you want some more sausage?
But it feels like they are. But it isn't.
Nobody cares.
And, like, I go to the liquor store every day.
Like, hey, booze hound, what's up?
Yeah, and, like, that people... I'll say this on the podcast.
The liquor store at the Key is always like, hey, what are you getting this week? I'm like, I literally come here once every 2 weeks. Like, yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. It feels like a judgment when maybe it isn't. So this is maybe what people feel like when someone is like,
We're the ones projecting.
I think we fucking are. 100%. When people say like, oh, I'm a vegetarian, and someone is like, but you don't even eat bacon, I feel like you're judging me. That's what I feel like when my amazing, like, I even have ownership.
Your liquor store?
Amazing people at the liquor store near my place are like, oh, you like that one, hey? Like, you change your signature wine.
Like, fuck it, you don't know shit about this.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe I'll get vodka sometime, and it's like, you never will.
You'll get wine. You'll get wine every day.
I'm never gonna buy rum. I'm never gonna buy... I can't think of anything else that I would never buy other than rum. But, like... but when they're just like, oh, you're getting that again, I guess you must really like that, I'm like, don't comment on it. Don't keep track.
Just ask me how I'm doing.
But then at the same time, they, like, know my name. They know my number for my points. Like, I don't even have to say anything, and I kind of love it. But at the same time, I feel judged.
You're like, how much of an alcoholic am I that they know my points number?
Well, but this is the thing, is, like, I feel ashamed, honestly.
Sure.
So as much as I'm shame Teflon, like, I'm still going to keep doing it. It's not going to prevent me from doing it. But I just feel kind of bad at the same time, where they, like, are like, oh, yeah, I totally know your points number. I don't even have to ask.
You fucking liquor hound.
Don't worry about it. And I'm like, ugh, this should make me feel good to be, like, seen and recognized, but it's for a vice that I'm not super
proud of. I totally hear that. Like,
so that's the same as, like, the Greasy Spoon Diner or the fucking coffee shop. Or
how about my weed dealer who told me that I looked stunning one day? And I was like, I don't know what to do with that, Danny. Like, I really don't. I truly, like... I appreciate the compliment, but I don't trust your judgment because you're high on your own supply. And, like, you know what I think is the best snack when I'm stoned is a Pillsbury pizza pop. So it's like, I don't trust your judgment while you're high on how good I look. I looked so good that day, though.
Yeah.
So he was right. He was right. God bless you, Danny.
But, like, even the Starbucks near my house where I'll walk in and if they go,
do you want the reduced fat turkey egg white sandwich?
I'm like, you don't know me. Maybe I want full-fat fucking bacon croissant sandwich.
Give me a
today.
Stick of butter and just cream in a cup.
Yeah, please. Thank you. Like, my partner literally has a drink named after him at the coffee shop that's not the Starbucks near our house.
We won't say what that is because that will give away your location.
Yes, that will triangulate the shit out of shit. But he's very proud of it. And he's like, he's a Taurus. And he's very like... I know my shit. I've lived here for 20 years. In Vancouver, that is, like,
that's like 80 years in Vancouver time.
Like, I don't understand how he has existed, but he just has. And he's just...
Somehow?
He's just kept doing it.
Yep.
Like, so stubbornly, like, no one can fucking get him to fucking do, like, anything that he doesn't want to do. And it's so... I admire it. I admire it so much. Yeah. And I've picked up a lot of that from him.
He's a good influence in a lot of ways. We're like, we're not going to talk about him. And then we do, because he's great.
Because he's... awesome.
He's a dear.
He's a good influence.
He's super sweet. I'm totally gonna give him a back rub after this. Throw out his shoulder sanding guitars.
Yeah, he's like super, oh, he's so good.
Such a sweet little baby. Well, we should probably wrap this episode up because we've got to do a whole nother one. What do you want to talk about before we go?
I just wanted to say that he has a regular drink.
Yeah.
And it's not even anything special. It's just that...
It's just specific.
He wants an Americano with less water. He's like, the way that you make it normally is too much water. So I want... And he drew lines on a cup. And he's like, I want this much espresso.
Espresso.
I know, I said that, but I hate that.
You caught yourself?
Yes. I want this much espresso, and then I want the equal amount of water. I don't want you to fill it up. I just want you to make it equal. Can you please do that for me? And now that has become a name for a drink at this coffee shop.
Where I want someone doesn't honestly, want too much water.
It's the best fucking coffee.
I like a creamy coffee.
It's the best fucking coffee.
It's a good time. It's a good time. And I think... Okay, so
but he loves being a regular, but I fucking hate it. So I don't when like I, to be seen when I in walk in and a barista at that particular coffee shop is like, oh, you're Mrs. Bond and you want a Bond. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. I'm like, I want an iced Americano with all the water. I'm gonna the opposite of that.
Give me a skinny cinnamon dolce latte. That's a Starbucks drink. I don't care. Don't tell me what I want.
Yeah.
I'm the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
So
I hear that. I don't like to be monitored by people. I don't want people. I feel like people are keeping tabs on me. And I feel that way when I'm a regular somewhere, which is totally, like, not true.
I know. And
people are just happy to see you.
And all the people, because I was on the other side of that, where I would work at a coffee shop in Point Grey, and the same people would come in at 7 a.m. every day, because they were on their way to work. And people loved it when I had their drink almost ready for them.
Yeah.
They'd be like, you know what I like, thank you so much.
It's weird that we can do that for people and know that we don't like it ourselves.
Isn't that so weird?
Why are we like this?
I never checked in with anyone, but they all seem delighted.
Yeah, but I would hate it.
I hate it so much. I hate being a regular so much.
I hate it too,
Does anyone relate to this at all?
Because I feel like this is a very rare thing, and when you said it, I was like, yes,
I've never heard anyone say that.
Exactly, like, I stopped, because I live in New West, and there's, like, a big restaurant at the SkyTrain station. I go to the Hub fairly frequently, because they have a lot of turnover in their staff.
Mm-hmm.
But at Hops, which is also at the same area, they know me by name, and they talk to me, and I'm like, I don't want this. And I know that that's a thing that's cultivated, and it's meant to be really good, but I don't like it, because I just feel like people are monitoring what I'm up to, and if anything changes, they're going to quiz me on it. I don't like that, but this should be projecting, I think.
I know. So I feel like it is a projecting thing where it's like, are you judging me for giving you money?
No,
like,
they're so happy you're here and not being an asshole to them.
Nobody fucking cares. They're probably happy that they have someone that they can talk to as more of a real person as opposed to a customer.
I suspect that's probably true. So, I don't know why we're like this.
Why are we like this?
Why am I like this?
I just feel so judged every time that I go into something and it's like, oh, you're getting your regular, your usual. And I'm like, fuck you.
You just get the same thing because you're a chicken shit and you don't want to try something new?
You don't know me.
Nobody knows me.
But yet, I always do get the same thing at the stuff. And if someone remembers, like, I should feel happy that they're considering
You should feel however the fuck you want to feel, Chris. Let me just put that out there right now that you don't have to like this.
But you know what I really love?
What do you love?
I have a few different staff at different places that I go who I feel like I'm genuinely friends with.
Is lunch through work or what?
It's from the Railway Club days.
I miss honestly, the Railway
because
Club
I used
so much.
I used to go there and just, I would be there till 4 a.m. They would let me stay after closing
He's
and just
altered.
Feed me free drinks
make it till,
and drive me home. Like
they drove you home?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I was like, you just wait till, like, transit's working again, pretty
much. I got, like, I was so tight with some of these guys that they would drive me home.
That's amazing.
And it was the safest and the sweetest, and to feel like a regular at those places felt so good.
A bar,
like,
is different than food, for some reason.
But I like having access.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. At Railway,
I like having access to, like, a special place.
I always kind of felt that at the Railway as a musician at the time, because I haven't been in a few years, and the last time I was there regularly was as a musician, and, like, going through the door to Narnia, basically, because they had this tiny little squat door, and that's where bands would hide all their gear.
Yeah.
And you'd go through there, and then you get to the back patio, where you could go out and have a smoke or have whatever.
That closed, like, 5 years ago. I was so sad.
But it was such a cool thing to do, and, I mean, that was still very active when I was still there.
Yes.
So I've just
access,
missed out.
But I feel like, I think it's when commerce is involved, I'm suddenly starting to
twig
that. Even though I spend money at a bar, it's about the relationships, whereas if I'm at a store, It's not like I can hang out with you for an hour in your store.
Oh, that's so funny.
That would be so
annoying. I was actually
annoying.
At the Starbucks in my neighborhood, and, a woman approached me, and she's like, well, how are you doing and stuff, and I recognized her totally, and I'm just like, I don't know where I know her from. She's like, well, I own brick and mortar, like the little Halo. You just took your boobs out.
I know. It's so hot.
and she co-owns that brick and mortar place across the street from my house. Mm-hmm. I should, probably shouldn't tell you exactly where that is, but come and stalk me. It's fine. If you have the presence of mind to come out to New West and like wait outside of my building, fine. Frankly, fucking fine. Anyway, brick and mortar. So she owns this with this other woman, and they like share a dog and all this kind of stuff. I saw her at the Starbucks, and she's like, well, how are you doing today? I'm like, why do I know you? She's like, I'm at brick and mortar. I'm like, oh, you're out of context. I don't know who you are. Because I'm a regular to you, but you're just like the person who's there.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds mean. It's not meant to be. It's just, she's beautiful and she's super lovely. It's just kind of like, I don't know why I know you. Like, out of this context where I always see you, did I take class with you or something? Like, were we in women's studies together? I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I always kind of feel bad because, like, I have very recognizable looks. Quite frankly, I have a lot of tattoos. I have very bright red hair. It's easy to file away.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody who's got, like, shoulder-length brown hair and is 5'4 and is a pretty lady, like, get in line. There's a lot of people who look just like you. I don't know how to make the distinguishing, like, I don't know how to do that.
That's very interesting.
I don't know how to make the distinguishing.
Because I feel like when I recognize somebody that works at a retail place, I think it's the retail versus the, like, hangout.
Yep.
That, to me, now has become the distinction, like, just in this conversation. Like, what is the difference?
Well, that's vital. I think that's important.
Because if I go to, like, this one restaurant, and the same server is there, and it's like, hey, regular, I don't feel as judged about that, whereas if it's, like, a store that I'm frequenting, because it's such a quick transaction, that we don't, like, we're actually, okay, so this is going back to, like, the trust pebbles.
Trust pebbles in the trust bucket.
So I think because in a restaurant or a bar, you're spending all night with them or whatever, just, like, chatting and whatever. It's an intimate time, and maybe you're putting more trust pebbles in the bucket, whereas at the liquor store, you're putting one in every day, so it's very slow.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe eventually I'll feel comfortable and
I like the gal we met today, though. She was great. She and I have decided to be best friends over The Simpsons.
But I feel like we've put in enough pebbles in the bucket.
That it's fine.
With this person to be like, you're amazing.
And it's fine.
I really like you, and I feel like I kind of know something about you because every split second interaction that we have over, like, here's my purchase, here's my number.
It's very positive.
And here's, like, the quip that we're going to give.
Yep.
Over the last 3 years has now added up to something. So now I feel comfortable. So maybe that's the
thing. Maybe that's what it is. It's just, like, a certain amount of, like, do you like me beyond what you're able to predict about me? Do you see me as a human being rather than a collection of desires?
Or an order.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm trying to say.
So maybe.
Maybe when the moment that you feel recognized as a person rather than as a collection of, like, put this in me or I'm going to be super cranky.
Mm-hmm. So then I'm feeling now, because my initial reaction is to just run away from that, right? Where it's like, someone recognizes, they're like, oh, you come in here, like, every day.
You're like, I'm never coming back here.
And then I literally never go back there. If someone identifies me as, oh,
you're a regular
butter chicken wrap, I'm like, fuck, you now know me by
face. You know how much I love carbs. Now I really want a butter chicken wrap. Thanks.
But, like, why is that a bad thing? Why is it a bad thing?
Why couldn't I just have a butter chicken wrap
by the food item that I really enjoy at your establishment? That is very exceptionally delicious.
When I think back to, like, the times that I've worked
why is that bad?
When I've worked in retail and had regular customers, I would say that the most regular customers I ever had was working at this organic market that only operated on Saturdays in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Wild West Organic Harvest. If anybody, I can't imagine anyone listening to this has any. Because I had, like, one regular who was just this sort of, like, hippie lady, and I saw her every week. Honest to God, she was a nut, and I loved her.
Yes.
I truly loved her. It was a treat every time she came in. She was always doing something fucking weird that I didn't understand. She's like, oh, I need glasses. I didn't get prescription lenses. I got these weird glasses that have, like, little holes in them that, like, drive your eyes into one particular way of looking at things. I was like, okay, Cheryl, or whatever her name was. And I was just like, I thought she was nuts, but I fucking loved her. And yeah. every time she came in, it was a treat for me. And that's how I felt at Winners, too, when I worked there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I would have the same people come in regularly. And there were people that I would dread. And I'm sure they knew it.
Yeah.
And there were people that I adored. And mm-hmm. I'm sure they knew it.
Yes.
And sometimes I miss working retail. I don't really miss working retail because the remuneration fucking sucks for the mm-hmm. amount of work you have to do. But the actual, like, on-level work that you do with people face-to-face was something that I really enjoyed, and I wish that that was something that was paid better because I'm good at it.
Yeah.
And I would do it more if that was a thing that was, like, that paid anywhere, even half as much as what I make now.
Yeah. This is so funny. It's really turning around my, like, desire to not be a regular somewhere.
You're like, maybe I want to be one.
Because I feel like I'm really, like, devaluing the humanity that the server is giving me.
Isn't that funny? Like, we decide to interpret it as judgment rather than them wanting to see you and, like, recognize you as a human being. So maybe we're assholes.
I think we might be assholes.
We might be assholes. Do we want to leave it on just being assholes? Because I had a piece so bad right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I think we might be assholes, and I think we're going to turn shit around.
Yeah, let's just, like, improve ourselves completely.
Let's let ourselves be seen as...
as participants in the social contract.
Yeah, and, like, flawed humans who sometimes...
who gotta have some eggs and sausage.
Yeah.
And a side of toast.
Fucking A.
Ash brown over easy.
We're gonna
chili in a bowl.
We're gonna leave this shit.
Burgers and fries, what kind of guy? Alamo. Sorry, it's Tom
Katie's
Waits.
Doing amazing hand motions right now, too. She's basically T-bowing, is that a thing?
T-bowing? No, yeah. I think I'm dabbing. I think I'm dabbing on that ass. I think I'm doing bits from Nighthawks at the Diner from Tom Waits. So we should probably leave it on that. I should pee and then we'll record again.
Yeah, we had a complete turnaround, which is what we were talking about in the podcast, like...
change my mind.
Yeah, sometimes we're like, we come in with a firm position, and by the time we're finished talking, we're like, we suck and we should be better.
You know what? This is so much cheaper than therapy. Honestly, and I will keep paying for therapy, but this is a great training wheel for it all.
I hope that anyone likes this, though I don't want to be a regular in your ears.
I do really want to be a regular in your ears.
I love you.
Hi, Meredith. I love you. Love you, Meredith. Love you, Aaron.
Okay, bye. We'll see you next week. Bye.